Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to LAID, Love and Intimacy for the Disabled. I am Stephanie, your host, along with Tyson Cherry. And Tyson, how you doing?
Hi,
Tyson,
you're
there? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good.
Yes. Yeah, my phone is called Don't Call.
Okay, so Tyson's phone is experiencing some technical difficulties, so he will be in and out with us tonight. You know, his phone is dropping calls, so we are going to be patient with you tonight. But while I have you on the line, how was your week?
Good, good, good. I cannot complain as usual. I went to a handball tournament in Queens, and it was a lot of people there, too. I was very surprised. Yeah.
You miss it, don't you? Playing.
Not playing, watching, of course.
No, I said, do you miss playing?
Yes. Yes, I do. I really do. Yes. And I saw some people I used to play with years ago.
Oh.
That was there. Yes.
Okay. So it's really, I didn't realize. Pardon me?
How was your weekend?
Okay. I didn't realize how big the tournaments got. Like, you know, I remember being a kid, they would just have, like, a tournament in the park for the neighborhood. But
yes.
I didn't realize how big this gets.
It gets big, yes. People come from all five boroughs to play in this tournament. It does. Yes.
And it's every year, every summer?
Every summer, yeah. Yes. And it's single. It's just men playing this time. It's the king of the court.
Okay. Do they have anything with women?
They have queen of the court, too.
Okay, do the men and women ever compete, or do they ever have, like, mixed teams?
Yes. Yep. I was a part of a team, you see, but not no more. I had a certain partner, a male, one male, and one female partner, too. I did.
Okay.
At one time, yes. Yes.
You play. You used to play in the tournaments, like the ones you go see.
Yes. Yes.
You were a very serious player.
Yes, I was. Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay. Cool. Guess what I did this week? Dancing. I went to a class called Mount Sinai Real Abilities Dance Program. It's a free dance program at Mount Sinai for people with disabilities. And at first I went, I didn't know what to expect, but it was really nice. It ended up being a lot of people coming, not overcrowded, but more than I expected. And the instructor was really, she was really nice, you know, really engaging. And it was a nice class. It was fun. And I'm learning how to do the tango. In the wheelchair. It's really cool. Yeah.
In the wheelchair. How can you do the dance in the chair? I don't know. That sounds interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I was even able to do some of the moves with my grandson. He's 9 years old. But you learn how to apply, like, the pressure with your hands and to, you know, you have to do equal amounts of pressure that the standing person is doing and the sitting person is doing, and they're able to move you. You know, they're able to move you backwards or forwards. It was really cool. I enjoyed it. I mean, it was the first class. It was very clumsy, but, you know, we'll get it. And me and my grandson, we learned how to turn. You know, it was really cool. I really enjoyed it. I'm going back, every week. And I see you dropped, and I picked you back up. Okay. We're going to be going back. I'm going to be going back every week. I'm looking forward to it. I think at the end of it, there's going to be a performance. I don't know if I'm going to join the performance or not, but we'll see. I also went on Saturday to the Women's Health Conference. What is it called? From Within 2015. It was really a good conference. I enjoyed myself a lot. You know, we had breakfast, and then after breakfast we did workshops. And the first workshop I did was healthy eating workshop, which you guys can find. I put up some videos, and I put up a video of the instructor giving us a few tips. I also did a self-defense workshop, you know, which he was just basically instructing us, you know, that anybody can do something, you know, anybody can do something, you know, so that was good. I put up a video of some things with him also, and a meditation, so that was cool. And that was my week, pretty much, you know, that and the grandkids. So I think we should move on to our topic today, which is very interesting, cheating, you know. But first, I think we need to define cheating. What do you think cheating is? Okay, we did technical difficulty. He dropped. You know, some people, cheating to some people is, you know, it means many different things, you know, especially in the age of social media and everything like that, with Facebook and Twitter and Instagram or whatever. That's a big gateway into cheating. But what do you think cheating is, Tyson? What do you consider cheating?
Cheating can be emotional and sexual, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, to me, cheating is things.
The other person's secret, you see, that part between you and them, you see.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, yes.
Yeah, and when you're doing things that you have to keep secret from your partner because it might hurt them or hurt the relationship. To me, that's cheating. You know, it doesn't always and necessarily have to be sexual, you know, but, you know, I'm no legal person or whatever, but this, for me, this is what cheating would look like. And so with that, I'm going to ask you a little personal question. You can answer it if you want to or not. Have you ever been cheated on?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. In a serious relationship?
Not in a serious. I was not in a serious relationship at the time, no.
Mm-hmm.
No. Or not at all. Anyway, I was very young then, you see, young and dumb, I believe, to myself. Yes. It's at the point that we had went out as a friend, you see. And one friend came to me and said that the other person felt their butt, you see. And then I was with two other girls, and I told them. And then they said to me,
Wait, I'm sorry. I missed that. You said you were with two other girls?
Oh, yes. And I asked them, I told them what happened. And they said, who told you first? That's your liar. Uh-huh, yes. That's what they assume, yes. Mm-hmm. But
okay.
Now we get going home. I'm doing the I live in the project, so I was walking off the road slowly, and the other person was still in the car, fixing the back seat. I'm going up in the building, and I see that the person not behind me. Mm-hmm. They jumped in the front seat. I walked through the building to the back door to see them drop off. And I seen them drop off with two people in the front of the car. I could not believe it. Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Oh, my.
I could not believe it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But I said, what comes around goes around. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You live and learn. That's all. That's what I said. It was something for me to learn from, that it would not happen again, you see?
Yeah. Well, I definitely have had that experience, unfortunately. And I think most people.
Not no more. I live and learn.
Yeah, well, but Tyson, I don't think it's something that you can, I don't think cheating is something you can predict with another person. You know, being in a relationship, I don't really think, I mean, you can hope, you know, but I don't really think it's something that you can predict. Do you think that there are different reasons why men cheat and why women cheat? Oh, I think we dropped. I think his call dropped. Let's see. All right. Do you think that there are different reasons why men cheat and why women cheat?
Yes. I believe women cheat with their hearts when they feel they are not getting enough attention from their partner. And the men cheat for a different reason, I believe. Yes.
See,
women are more emotional, I believe, yes, than men.
I tend to agree with what you're saying. I think me and a friend had this conversation, and I was saying I think a man can cheat and not and it not affect the way he feels about the person that he's with.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that if a man cheats, it means that he doesn't love you. But I do think that when a woman cheats, maybe she might, you know, be having some problems with her relationship.
Yeah.
Feel driven.
So.
Maybe she feels driven to cheat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know.
It's that 2080 rule. And you have
2080?
Yeah, 2080 rule, yes, I believe.
Now, explain the 2080 rule.
It is, 80 is what you have in the relationship, and 20 is without, not in the relationship, they're looking for on the outside, and they find it on the outside of the relationship, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you think that we are, let me give you what I think first. I kind of think that we have been fed so many fairy tales in our lives and these pictures of this perfect love, this perfectly romantic love, you know, Cinderella, Snow White type of thing, Prince Charming, that we tend to have unrealistic expectations of each other sometimes instead of, being realistic about a relationship. And at being 47, I'll be 47 next month, being 47 and having been married 3 times, I think I'm kind of like, okay, that perfect love might not exist. This is real. This is real. And in that reality, in a relationship, there are going to be things in your partner that you don't care for. You know, there are going to be things that you love and things that you can't stand. And it takes you to be committed. And I think that's something that we lack in our society. Commitment it takes to really be committed to not cheat, you know, because divorce is so rampant, you know, it's no commitment. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's almost like, oh, okay, this one. I remember when I was a kid and I said, made a smart remark And I would not condone this for anything, but this is what happened. I made a smart remark about I need a cigarette to my mother. Right, and she said, you need a what? And so my father used to smoke Winstons, and they are very strong cigarettes. And she said, go ahead, have your cigarette. I couldn't have been any more than 7 or 8 years old. And I'm going to light up this cigarette. As soon as I puffed it, I start choking. There's something wrong with this one. And I got another one. And I don't know how many I went through taking that first puff, choking, and saying there's something wrong with this one. And that's what I feel like we do to each other. You know, we get with each other. We have these, we have images in our head, and we have what we think the relationship is going to be like. I'm going to date this person. I'm going to marry this person or get with this person. And I'm filling my head with what I think this relationship is going to be and how we are going to get along and how, you know, we're going to relate. And when that doesn't happen, I feel like this person is defective. And now I need to get rid of him or her and get another one. And we do that too often instead of being committed, first getting to know and then being committed to what it is that we've gotten ourselves into. You know, and that, I think, is one of the things that leads to cheating. And some people are just crap, and they like to cheat. You know, that's it. And it's not a good feeling. I've been there. You know,
no,
I've been.
Suggestion from in the pit of the stomach, you know something is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's your gut instinct. Some people don't believe in it, but I do. You feel it in your stomach. Something is wrong. Believe it.
I actually had somebody that went away to D.C., came back, and told me they cheated. And I was like, okay. I think I developed this. I don't like feeling devastated. And so I kind of developed a calmness. Like, you can give me news, and it could be terrible news, and I won't react. I have to think about what it is that you're saying.
On you or a friend?
Yeah, they cheated on me. They cheated on me. Cheated on me. They came back, and they said that they cheated. They let me know that they cheated. And, I mean, now looking back, I'm wondering, to do that, are you just like saying, I just don't give a damn and I don't care? Wouldn't you try and hide it? Wouldn't you try and, that was a weird relationship, so I'm not even going to count that. That was a bizarre relationship in my younger days. You know, this person just did some things. But I can recall an incident where, just like you said, you know you have that feeling.
Yes.
And my husband, I'm not going to say which one, I knew he at least, in the very least, had interest in this woman. And it was a woman where he worked. And so his dear friend, who was a dear friend, a family friend, he would tell him, your wife is on the phone. He would be in this woman's apartment. And he'd tell him, your wife is on the phone. He'd come out to get the phone, and I wasn't on the phone because he was making it up, because he was just trying to get him out of the woman's apartment because he knew that he had a family at home, you know. And with that sensing, I don't know for what reason I was trying to call this woman. I don't know what it was, but I suspected that her phone.
How did you find out about this? The phone call.
Well,
the friend called you.
No. The friend would just the ex husband ended up telling me about, you know, how his friend used to do that, but he would tell him that he had a phone call on the line. You know, you got a landline, got to come and get the phone. Just to get him out of the woman's apartment, he would lie to him and tell him that your wife is on the phone.
Okay.
And so he gets to the phone, and I wasn't on the phone. He just wanted him out of the apartment because he knew that he had a family. And he was trying to protect his family, you know. But, of course, that you know, men going to do what they're going to do. But we had an incident one time when I can't recall for what reason why I wanted the number or needed the number or whatever. I think I was trying.
That's the problem too.
Pardon me?
That's the big problem. Yes.
Are you still there? Okay. I was trying to call this woman, and her number had changed for whatever reason. And I got slick, and I called the telephone company because I suspected that her number was in my husband's name. I called the telephone company, and, you know, hey, I'm locked out of my house because back then, back in the day, you could dial 987, and it would tell you your phone number. You just dial 987 from your phone, and it would play back your phone number. So I was like, I'm out of the house. We just got a new phone, and I need my telephone number. And, you know, the guy was like, oh, this has happened to me before, too, or whatever. And he gave me the woman's phone number. You know, I told him, you know, the name that I thought it was in, which was my husband's name. I said, oh, it's, you know, blah, 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 you know, whatever. Had all the information proper. He gave me the phone number, and I called her. And she was like, how did you get my number? How did you get my number? That's all she wanted to know was how I got her number. For 5 minutes, she wondered how I got her number. I said, don't worry about it. I got it. And then we started talking, woman to woman. We had a long conversation. It had to be over an hour. And at the end of the conversation, I told her, I said, you know, if you wasn't effing my husband, we could probably be good friends. You know, because I didn't dislike the woman. I did not dislike the woman. I disliked what was going on. You know, and I didn't feel anger towards her because she wasn't cheating on me. It was him, you know. But, you know, that's one of my stories with cheating. I think I kind of given up on it now. It's like, geez, trying to find loyalty.
Did you do anything in the relationship to cause him to cheat?
Tyson, I'm going to be very honest with you. I was not a good wife. I wasn't a good wife. Not a good wife. I was a good woman. I was a good mother. I was a good friend. But I wasn't a good wife. I wasn't. I was a slob. I had a very childish way of thinking about relationships. You know, I was arrogant. I felt like if I was right, then it must be true. I was young. I got married. First time I got married, I was 18 years old. I was very young and without the guidance of my parents. My mom died when I was 14. My dad died when I was 17. So very naive, very childish, very I freely admit that, you know, I wasn't a wife. Not the way a hardworking man would like a wife. You know, that's it. I was very much into my kids. I wasn't very much into my husband. Although I loved him, I just wasn't. I didn't take care of him the way I took care of my husband. I mean, my children.
Okay.
You know, so that was
mentally satisfied by you mentally.
No. I wouldn't say that he was. And this woman, I know she was very supportive of him and, you know, where he worked, what he did. She was his secretary at one point, you know, and, you know, she was a lot, you know, if he asked her to do something, she did it. I always got the, you know, he used to say, oh, you always got the bitch box going. You know, always, I was very arrogant. I really was very arrogant. I had an attitude towards men, more so like, you know, I could do it myself. I don't need you.
That's what they do. Some men feel that, over the 65,
over what?
65,000. Some career women, if they make it's over 65,000, they tell the man, oh, I don't need you, I could do on my own without you. Yes.
And I didn't even have a job. This wasn't even about this. I was arrogant. Look, let me tell you. I wouldn't take anything from him. He had to tell me, look, you know, I'm your husband. My father raised us, like, when I can recall him saying, don't take anything from no man, because a man always wants something in return. And so I was really like, you know, I don't need this, I don't need that, you know. And so even when we were getting divorced, I didn't have a job. Do you understand what I'm saying? I didn't have a job, but I still felt like I got this. I got this. I had confidence for no damn reason. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, my goodness.
I had confidence for no reason. And I've always been like that, you know. And, I mean, I've learned better now. I've not been married in 18 years. I haven't been married. And over that time, just learning from my own mistakes, you know, going back and looking at myself and learning from my own mistakes, looking at other people's relationships, you know, I've learned that marriage and relationships is truly, it really is a give and take. It really is. You cannot go into a relationship thinking it's going to be how you want it to be, just how you want it to be, and that's it. You know, you have to learn how to compromise, which I've never been very good at. I wasn't good at it. I really wasn't. And I really think I had a quality man. I had a quality man. All the things that women complain about with men or whatever, you know, I didn't have no complaints. I didn't have no complaints. I was the problem. I really was. You know, and oh, goodness, I can't believe I'm admitting that. But I'm admitting it. I was the problem. And, you know, that's how it goes. That's how it goes. I mean, and we've talked about it. We didn't talk about his cheating, but, you know, we've talked about the quality of our relationship. You know, are you still there? Oh, no, you're not. Okay, here we go.
Huh?
Okay, you're back.
Oh, your girlfriend still?
I was saying we talked about the quality of our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're great friends. We're like brother and sister.
Okay. That's good.
We're really good friends. And it took, you know, so many years to look at yourself and see the mistakes that you made. You really do become a different person, because I really feel like I'm a different person than I was back then. I really am. Leaps and bounds, you know, in terms of understanding and things like that, you know. So on this subject and topic of cheating, I would, you know, although it's never justified, I would really say look at yourself and make sure you, and give your all. Give your all. Sometimes we're afraid to give our all. We're afraid that we're going to give and the other person is going to take and not give back. But in the very least, if you give your all, you know that you know that you've given and you've done all it is that you could do, you know, to make sure that the relationship is okay. I've lost Tyson again and I'm trying to get him back, but it's not coming. So I'm going to have to sign off by myself. And I want to remind you guys to listen to the show every Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time at www.blogtalkradio.com/laid. Don't forget to subscribe and follow so that you can get updates on when the show is airing and what the topics are. Also, you can call in while the show is going on at 347-308-8494. Check out Mount Sinai Wheel Abilities dance program. And I'll see you guys next week. Look on the Facebook page. That's on Facebook, Laid Love and Intimacy for the Disabled, to find out what's going on. Bye-bye, guys. Have a wonderful week. And don't forget, the first rule of loving is loving yourself.